Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. You know this rain is going to stop. It's going to stop. I see it coming. I see the end of it. We're going to have a pretty day. We're going to have a remarkable week coming up. It's that last week. It's that last week in every year during American summer when we get these really cool temperatures. Some people, it's one of those terms I think we used to call them when we had a better concept of what seasons were and how varied our seasons are. We talked about this being blackberry winter. Maybe there were other things we call blackberry winter, but I like this this season in spring for being blackberry winter. It's this late cool spell just as the big blackberries bloom, as the big blackberries ripen. All throughout the state, it varies depending on where you are. But it's a really cool spell. It can be 60 degrees. Enjoy it. Because it's not going to happen again for a long time. But you know, it's going to be a great week for tomatoes. Your tomatoes are going to set in a big way. We're going to get some warmer than normal temperatures next week, unfortunately. But there it is. You're going to have a really cool week. It's going to be fairly dry. It's going to be very dry. That's why the temperature is going to drop. That means temperature is going to be up during the day, but low at night. Going to be a great week for gardening. Hey, listen, we're going to talk about gardening, but, you know, somebody asked me the other day if I saw Game of Thrones. No, but I saw the fireflies. Listen, I was out. I was working on cracking the hard pan on a new garden. I got this new garden. It's in the country. And the sun was going down and the day was going out. And I could just barely see. Every time I stuck that fork in the ground and leaned back, I could just barely see the heave of soil that it was heaving up in this little bit of moonlight that was left. Because there ain't no street lights out there, you know? There were no street lights. And right out of the corner of my eye, there was this bright flash of light. And I'm on the top of a hill and I'm thinking, ooh, boy, you know? So I counted for thunder, waiting for the storm, just counted for thunder. Nothing, no silence. So I went back to work, punched the earth again, and then there was another flash, boom, and another. So finally I looked up from the dirt, and I saw this field around me, flickered with fireflies. It was the most, you can't remember the intensity of fireflies until you're surrounded on a dark night. So wind was driving this, drove a pair, it came so close to my ears that I heard the wings buzz. And for a minute, I was just blinded by the flash of these fireflies right in front of my face. And so, suddenly, I could see the outline. There was no outline of trees. There was no road. There was no field. And there was nothing except for this phosphorescent pulsing in space of all these fireflies. An amazing thing. You know, when we were kids, we played among them, the fireflies, once upon a time. You know, they were as common and as wonderful as tadpoles and mud holes. Right? We imprisoned the fireflies in our mayonnaise jars. We made little lanterns of them. And most of them died from exhaustion or lack of oxygen. It wasn't the most satisfying light, but you know, the impulse to be part of something so miraculous, to contain it, to make it part of us, was just irresistible. It was irresistible. What happened to the fireflies? What happened to the fireflies we grew up with? Where are they? You know, I'm thinking about this over and over and over. And, you know, let's just talk about it, because it tells us a lot about who we are and where we are and what we've done to what we are and how we see the world. And, you know, the truth is, we got all kind of reasons. Here's what happened to fire. Oh, it's the mosquito spraying for the – it's not the mosquito spraying that killed them. It's not the mosquito spraying that wiped out. You know, there's a lot of things about fireflies that you don't know. Here's one of the things about fireflies you don't know. When fireflies aren't casting light, they're below ground. They're little larvae. They're beetles. They're a type of beetle that has this phosphorescent glow. And below ground, they have these little white grubs, right? Grubs are bad. Ooh, we don't like grubs, right? They're under the soil. You know what those grubs are doing? They're eating slugs. They're eating other creatures under the soil that actually affect your plants. They're incredibly beneficial to gardens. They're incredibly beneficial to maintaining populations of pests, to keeping populations of pests down because of the stuff they do underground. And they like wetland areas, right? They're often associated with wetlands, with muddy areas, with mud puddles, just like tadpoles. That's the reason we don't see tadpoles anymore, because we want to eliminate the mud holes. They're there. They like, you know what else they like? They like grass that's not golf course grass. They can't tolerate golf course grass. They like grass that's higher, the way we used to keep grass. When it was 4 inches, let it get 4 or 5 inches tall. That's the thing they like. They like that. You know what else they like? They like duff with lots and lots of dead leaves. Just scattered out some places, you know, maybe dead leaves in the flower beds, dead leaves placed around. That's what they get in. That's what they are. And you know what else they like? This is really important. They like darkness. They like darkness. Now, isn't that miraculous? Because fireflies want to see each other. They don't want to see your street lights. They don't want to see your porch light. And in fact, what we found is that when you have lights in your yard, on your porch, on your street, in areas that have lights, the mating success of fireflies declines by 70%. Incredible. Incredible impact that light has. Why? Because they're looking for the light. We don't see fireflies anymore. We don't see them because we have no darkness anymore. We've decided that the world has to be lit up all the time. We don't have fireflies because we've decided we're going to mow the grass till it's 1 inch high everywhere. Everybody has to mow the grass all the time. We don't have fireflies because we put chemicals in the soil to get rid of grubs, because we use pesticides to keep our grass whatever. I don't use them, but you do. We don't have fireflies because we've decided, oh, we can't have wetlands. We can't have moist areas. We can't have little pools of water in our yard. Something's wrong with that. That's why we don't have fireflies. That's why we don't have them. There's another reason we don't have fireflies, and it's pretty important. It's because we spend our time inside watching Game of Thrones. Get outside. Turn the lights out. Let the grass grow. Put some leaves out for the fireflies. Have a little pool for them. Boy, you know, if there were a creature, if there were a mystical creature that was like a, that you could use, a creature that you could use like a lantern because it emitted so much light, you could make a movie out of that. You could make a Game of Thrones character out of that. Except, folks, it's real. It's out there. Enjoy the night. Enjoy the night and the spectacle of the stars and the fireflies. Turn off the lights. You know, if you have some questions about, oh, man, if I turn off the lights, terrible things are going to happen. Yeah. Let's talk about that this morning. We'll talk about it more as we go on. But let's talk about the fireflies. Let's talk about the fireflies we're missing. There were many different kinds of fireflies. We probably nearly eliminated them from Mobile. But there are still a few little pockets out there. Watch for them. Protect them. Understand what they need. If you've got fireflies, let's talk about it. Let's talk about where you are. Let's talk about how to encourage them. Let's talk about how not to lose them from your yard, because they're very rare now around Mobile. You have to almost have to go out in the country, and now we're treating pastures like golf courses. And we're losing the fireflies there, too. Give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106. I'd love to hear from you about your garden. Love to hear about your fireflies. 251-343-0106.
Me and my best friend Lillian and her blue tick hound dog Gideon, sitting on the front porch, cooling in the shed, singing every song the radio played, waiting for the Alabama sun to go down to red dirt girls in a red dirt town. Me and Lillian. Just across the line in a little southeast of Meridian.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, yeah, you know, I think I see that we got one more little last train of clouds and rain coming through. It should come through pretty quick. It's a narrow train, so not everybody's going to get it. But I think mostly around Mobile, you're going to get some more of it. Boy, I know you folks around Hattiesburg and in South Mississippi, boy, have you all had some rain. I hope you're all right. I hope things are good. But the rain's going to decline. It's out. You've pretty well finished it out in Mississippi. West Mobile, it will be running through there pretty fast. Through Mobile and into Baldwin County, and that'll be the end of it. And then a really nice, cool week. A great week to do gardening. A great week to be out at night, because the skies are going to be clear. You get to see the sun and you get to see the moon and the stars. And if you're lucky, you get to see fireflies. Hey, listen, you know, this is big, and we don't think about this, but it is one of the ways we've changed the world in a significant way from even when you were young. We have changed the world dramatically, and we've changed it in lots of ways. But you know, some people say, well, humans can't really impact the world. They're not looking very close. Listen, we changed the light. We have changed the very light of the world. And we changed it because we're burning lots of coal, lots of natural gas, whatever it is, we're producing it to produce nighttime lights all the time. And that's okay, you know, in your house, okay, good. It has the effect, it's just on you. But we're now pushing this light outside more and more and more. And there are places I can go that it is, the sky is always lit up with this glow of cities, and it's not a pleasant glow, and it's not a great glow when what we lose are things like fireflies. And fireflies are the evidence that we've gone berserk on this outside lighting thing at night. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of darkness. You know, there's everybody says, oh, I got to have lights outside because it stops crime. You know, by the way, there is zero evidence, no evidence, and in fact, a lot of evidence to the contrary, that having a constantly turned on outside light deters crime. It just doesn't do it. You know, one of the reasons why I think it doesn't deter crimes is because thieves are just as... They're just as yellow-bellied in the light as everybody else, in the darkness as everybody else. They don't like darkness because they can't see. So one of the things we've done is we provide just enough light so that they can see exactly what we have in our yard and exactly what we have on our porches and exactly how to get access to our sheds. if you have a light that goes on outside, let me just suggest, for your sake and maybe to discourage thieves, and maybe also to allow the fireflies to return, use a light that comes on with motion. That comes on with motion. Don't leave your lights on all night. Street lights, you know, I don't know. Street lights, probably we should do the same thing. Maybe have street lights that come on with motion. That would be a really nice thing. It would make a lot more sense. We would probably save a ton of energy. And we wouldn't have all the problems and all of the glow we have. But, you know, we've done too much with these lights, and we've lost things that were really precious to us, things that were really miraculous, like the fireflies. I can't tell you, there's something about fireflies as an adult, as a very old adult. It's incredibly mesmerizing to just look at them. I mean, it can change your attitude. It is an amazing thing to see fireflies. If you don't think it will change your attitude, you find some. You go look at them. You see where they are. Hey, give me a call this morning if you still got fireflies. I kind of want to do a survey, and I'm hopeful you'll help me. If you're in Baldwin County, if you're in Mobile County, if you're in Mississippi, let me know if you still have fireflies. And let's talk about it. We used to remember when I was a kid in Mississippi and Alabama, we would run through the pastures and there were fireflies everywhere. There might not have been quite so many in the cities. Cities were already infected with light, too much light, and we had drained most of the areas in the city. But pastures everywhere were full of fireflies. They were full of fireflies. You know, I think that we're not seeing them in pastures as much anymore because we've gotten so obsessive about mowing pastures. We now have the tools to do it. We now have the gasoline to do it. So we just go in, we mow these pastures all the time. And it makes it very hard for everything, not just the fireflies, but the quail and the turkey and everything else that used to use the edges of pastures. They can't use it anymore because we've treated them like golf courses. But tell me about where you've seen fireflies. Tell me if you've seen it on your place. Tell me if it's in the pastures. Tell me if it's on the edges. Tell me if it's near a wetland. Tell me in particular if you're in Baldwin County or if you're in Mobile County and you're in some of the suburbs. Tell me if you still have fireflies. I'd be interested to know. I don't think there are any left in Midtown. I've thought about reintroducing. I've thought about, gosh, wouldn't it be great if I could find a population? What were the fireflies that were here that we've eliminated and put them back? And maybe that's a project we all should take on sometime. How do we reintroduce fireflies? We can do the right things to keep them there if we can just tone down the lights a little bit. Those lights, let me remind you, are really important where fireflies are concerned. 70% reduction in mating when they're exposed to all of these street lights that we have out everywhere. And it's even worse, apparently, with the LED lights. Now we're finding out that the new LED lights that we're putting in may actually be worse for fireflies because it's a broader spectrum light. The old sulfur lights didn't have the kind of broad spectrum of light that the LED lights have. It wasn't as wide a light. So the problem with that is that the lightning bugs, the fireflies, didn't notice the sulfur lights as much as they noticed some of the newer lights with broader spectrums. How do we deal with that? You know, I think we could solve all of our problems. We could solve a whole lot of problems if we thought about it very carefully, and didn't turn on lights unnecessarily. But give me a call this morning. Let me know. So we're also looking at our gardens right now. I know you're looking at yours. I think it's going to be great for tomatoes. Taxman says his miniature tomatoes are already producing. That's one of the great things about it, about those little miniature tomatoes. Just they can produce enormously, and they can produce very fast. And he's got them in hanging baskets, right, Taxman? It's really nice to have that. Really nice to have that in the garden to get those tomatoes first. There's some other tomatoes that I think people have got that may be producing pretty soon too. Oh, I'm getting Yeah, well, Greg, I'm listening. What's up?
Well, good morning, Bill. How are y'all?
Good, good.
I imagine y'all are good. I just wanted to call in about your firefly survey. I'm seeing them all over my property, but like you said, the lights kind of keep them on my fence line and my tree line, but I see more higher in the canopies than I do down at ground level.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting? You know, one of the things that one of the things we talk about with fireflies is that they do tend to like, they like pine trees and other trees that have a dark canopy, because they can see each other better now. And so the fireflies, in many times, we're finding them retreating to trees. Used to be they'd be in open pastures, but now they actually have to retreat to trees. We may be teaching them that because it's the only place that they can find enough darkness to actually see each other very well. So that's an interesting thing. Well, that's interesting, Greg. And so you're down in South Mobile County, right?
I'm just about 2 miles north of I-10 interchange. I'm off of Three Notch and Dawes Road in between the two, about a half mile from Schillinger's.
Yeah.
So I got a nice little hill out here, but I see more wildlife on this hill than I've seen in any piece of property I've ever been on in my life. I got four gopher turtles coming out every morning now, eating, you know, vegetation around the garden. My garden's just going crazy. I got squash. Everything's doing great. But that's because you helped me through the years, and I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
But it's been a great year so far. My tomatoes have gone crazy. There's over 100 tomatoes out there in the garden now.
Yeah.
Stellar spring so far. But, yeah, I definitely wanted to call you in and give you a little help on your survey because that helps you and the rest of us out.
That's great, Greg. And do you have any wet areas near where you're seeing these fireflies?
I actually have the head of the Rabbit Creek watershed about a mile from me, maybe not quite a mile, but I got little pools of standing water in the pasture areas in the yard, and I know that's kind of conducive to them and all, but, I mean, the tree line with the bamboo, I think, harbors them pretty well, but I see quite a few numbers at night. Like I said, it's more in the canopy than it is on the ground, but they are out here for sure.
Yeah, that's really good. That's good. It's good to know. And you know, there are a lot of different species, Greg, and they all have slightly different habits. We'll have to figure those out. I'm really curious as to whether the fireflies that you have out on Dawes Road may have been the same fireflies we once had in Midtown and Downtown Mobile.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll get me a good mason jar and I'll capture a few tonight. I'll take some pictures and try to send them to you next week.
Yeah, well, and you know, maybe we can transplant some of those fireflies to Midtown, to a good place in Midtown.
That would be a good idea, because I'm trying to help a buddy of mine put worms on his catawba tree, and I'm trying to find that online. They're like $60 for 12 of them, so I think I got a buddy in South Mobile County that's got a tree I can transplant catawba worms.
That's great.
But you know, I'm always with y'all and just out here maintaining my little property and trying to grow some grapes and everything else.
All right, Greg. Good to hear from you. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you, Bill. Y'all be blessed, brother.
All right. Hey, we'll be back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Getting lots of messages from folks this morning. David Hubble has a great, beautiful jar of loquat jelly. David, they look beautiful. He's converted his daughter. He's now stuck on loquats because his daughter loves them so much. Mayhaws are next for David. He's got a whole collection of them. I can't wait to see his Mayhaw jelly. That'll be great. Getting lots of firefly reports this morning. Lots of them. From David up around Lot Road, says he's got fireflies. Lots of fireflies up Lot Road. We've got Carol in Bay Minette says she's only got a few. She wants to know what to do to attract more of them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, Carol, as the morning goes on. Laura has said she's got lots of fireflies in Perdido. up around Splinter Hill, and boy, all the conditions are right up there. Y'all, guys, don't drain those pitcher plant bogs. You know, the fireflies that are over the pitcher plant bogs at Splinter Hill, up around Perdido, those fireflies are probably nearly unique. They're probably a very unusual species, unlike other fireflies, and we ought to look at them and see what they're doing, because they're going to be very interesting. So I've got lots of firefly reports this morning. This is really great. We're going to hear more about them. We're going to talk more about them. But Sherry is calling in. She wants to talk about that. Sherry, tell me about your fireflies.
Good morning. Yes. I've been out some evenings lately this last week, and that's what I noticed, is the fireflies seem to be more abundant this year. And one thing I have is weather we had a month ago. I lost a limb out of a tree, and so I've cut up all the limbs and branches and all had them piled up. And that's what the fireflies seem to be favoring, are those limbs and branches laying on the ground. And it's over in the darkest area of my yard, under all the trees, and there's no lights much around on that side of the yard, and they've just been plentiful. I, like you, went out intentionally one night and just sat and watched them.
Yeah, so that is interesting. So, Sherry, broadly speaking, where do you live? Just give me a kind of a general location.
I'm right by the Japanese Garden, by Municipal Park.
Oh, good, good. So that's interesting. So there are some left in Spring Hill. That's really nice. There are lots of wetlands left there.
I think
that's very useful. That's useful too. But you've hit on it. You know, I think one of the things that fireflies really like is they like the stuff that makes good soil. So all the things I talk about that say this is how you make good soil with topsoil, that's the conditions fireflies like. They like those leaves decomposing. They like to get down into the leaves where they're decomposing. They like to look for bugs in there as little grubs going into those leaves, looking for the little bugs that they eat. And so I think you've hit on it. I think that's why they're there. That darkness is really nice.
Okay, keep it dark.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. That was great.
Thank you. Enjoying the talk this morning.
Great. Hey, folks, let's talk about what it would take to reintroduce fireflies to our neighborhoods again. I think that's a very interesting thing. I do think we have to have dark areas of our yards. I think that has to happen. I don't think it's useful to do it otherwise. Let me just be clear. What do we think is the biggest impact on fireflies? Let me just say it plainly. Light. Human light. The light that is unnecessary, that we light up all around our houses because we don't mind burning coal, we don't mind burning natural gas, we don't mind burning all those things to keep the lights on all the time, whether it helps or not, that's what's causing the problems for fireflies. That's what's causing the problems for fireflies. What can you do? What can you do when there's a street light? There's some great vines, folks. Let me tell you about them. So what you do is you plant a vine right there at the base of the street light. Let it climb up the street light. You ever done that? Well, some people do. It's a great way to limit the light. It means you can get to see the stars at night. It means you get to see the lunar eclipses. It means you get to see the fireflies. You get to remember what it's like to enjoy the night again. It's a really great thing. We've created problems for ourselves, I'm afraid, sometimes. Charlie, have we got any other callers? Did we got other callers? Good. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the people who called in. Greg has got some beautiful pictures of vegetables, tomatoes and squash, and Greg, that's eggplant. Beautiful eggplant. Looks like a green eggplant. Looks beautiful. Greg, tell me which green eggplant that is. They're looking beautiful. There's several other callers who called in about their lightning bugs. So, Fish Sniper out on Cottage Hill and Sage says that he spotted a couple of lightning bugs at midday this past week. And that's good news. That's very good news. The hill, as we like to call it, Cottage Hill, Spring Hill, the last places I saw fireflies within the city limits were on those areas. That hill still has them. And I think what's very important to making those fireflies persist there are a couple of things. One is areas of darkness. That is incredibly important. So don't feel like you've got to light up the world. That is incredibly important to these fireflies. Maintain some areas that are just dark. You're not going to have thieves go there. Thieves are as afraid of the dark as you are. They need some light to get around. They're not going to bring flashlights with them. They don't think about that. They're going to be spooked by dark places because they're not used to it. Have some lights that if you're worried about thieves, which there's reason to believe you have much less reason to worry about thieves now than there was 30 years ago. In fact, burglary and theft and all that, I know that you don't believe it, but if you look at the numbers, they've declined precipitously over the past 30 years. So is violent crime. So we have much less reason to worry about those things than we used to in Mobile or anywhere else. Those rates are much, much lower than they used to be. But if you're really worried about it and you really want to do it, have a light that comes on with motion. Have a motion-generated light. That provides better protection. It spooks the burglar. It lets you know something different has happened outside. It lets the burglar know that somebody's paying attention because they notice their movement. There you go. And we don't bother the fireflies with that kind of light. It's really a nice thing. That's the first thing. Keep some dark places. The second thing is, I think we do need some wetlands with accumulations of leaves. Just a little pool. If that accumulates water, it doesn't have to hold water all the time, but it just needs to accumulate water. Those are really nice little places. If you're worried about mosquitoes in those places, you call me. We can figure that out. There's an easy way to deal with the mosquitoes. And that is we can put a few predatory fish in there, but just little depressions that capture a little bit of the rainfall. Those depressions can drain out a few days after a rain, and you won't even have time for mosquitoes to develop there. But that's really important too. Moist areas where there are lots of leaves that are breaking down, that's very important. All those things are very important to fireflies. They're all very important to fireflies. And I think if you do those things, I think you can encourage them. Fireflies need a little bit of space. If you're the only lot, and if you've got a 50 by 100 foot lot, and you're the only person in miles that's doing the same thing, well, you're going to have a hard time. But if you can get a few of your neighbors to kind of pool together and create a little area where fireflies are free to roam so that all of you get to enjoy the fireflies, that's a great way to do it, a great way to think about it, and something we should try. So, I'm thinking a lot about fireflies. Thinking a lot about fireflies now and how it works. There is, just because everybody will worry about the pesticides. It's interesting. I assumed for a long time that spraying for mosquitoes did damage to the fireflies. I don't think that I think spraying for mosquitoes probably does more damage to humans than it does to fireflies. Let me put it that way. And it certainly does. It creates a problem for bees and other things. We know that it does. It has no impact. The city's mosquito spraying, I can tell you, has zero impact on mosquitoes. Do you notice a decline in your yard when the mosquito truck goes by? Note it. You don't. It has zero impact on mosquito populations. We do it because we feel like we got to do something. And because the health department, if they don't do it, knows you're going to scream at them. Whether it works or not, they're still out there doing it. But that's probably not the issue for fireflies. The bigger issue is the stuff you're putting on your lawn to kill grubs, the pesticides you're putting on your lawn, maybe even the herbicides, maybe even the weed and feeds. That has a big effect. The other thing that is underrated is how you mow your lawn. If you mow it very, very short, Fireflies are sort of like quail. They don't like, you don't see quail on golf courses, and there's a very good reason. Because the grass is too short, they can't move through it, they need a little bit of cover. And the same is true for lightning bugs. They need the grass to be just a little bit taller. So don't mow your grass so tight. Don't mow it so close. Hey, I'm listening. We got another caller. BJ.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Finch?
I'm doing great.
I'm in Turnerville, and we still have fireflies.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and we have a few acres, and like you said, we leave the leaves and the pine straw. Most of our property is trees, leaves, and pine straw.
And yeah, that's great.
So we've been here over 25 years and have always had fireflies, still have quail and various other wildlife. Very little lawn, just enough right around the house, you know, to not track in too bad. We leave all the dead trees that are not threatening and let the, we have pileated woodpeckers and other woodpeckers. And we don't have outside lights other than porch lights, which we don't put on very much.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. You know, and it is nice to have a porch light when you need to find something outside, isn't it? But, you know, there's no need, there's just not a lot of benefit in leaving the porch lights on all the time. And I think it hurts with the fireflies. At least, I will say this about porch lights, is they're contained under the porch. And so most of the light is actually under the porch. Floodlights that poke out into the yard can do a lot of damage, particularly if they're on constantly while the fireflies are trying to do their business. And the big pole lights that sometimes people put out, those can clearly cause
problems. We have none of those.
Yeah, and that probably explains why you've got so many fireflies left.
It explains why we can see the sky.
Yeah, isn't
that nice?
And all the
pretty things there without all the excess light.
Isn't that nice? I mean, it is just as miraculous as the fireflies is the fact that there are stars at night. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And, you know, it's just that you forget that they're out there because in so many areas you can't see the stars anymore. You can barely see the moon, but you lose the stars. It's really nice to be out to where you can see them.
It is, and that's why we came here.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. You too.
And
enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we got to go with break. Brian's got his firefly report. We're going to come to that. We got some other firefly reports, other questions about fireflies. We're going to be back, but we got to take a little bit of break here in just a second. So,
welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Lots to talk about this morning, we've been excited by the fireflies. Sorry we had a little interruption with our power, but we're back up. We're ready to go. And so give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106. Got some photos of some bugs that appeared after the rain. They want me to say, what kind of bug is that? Well, it's a bug with many, 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 many legs all in a row. We're going to call that one a millipede. Like centipedes and millipedes, they're maybe a little different. Common names we give to things that are those bugs with many, many legs. They're detritus eaters. That means they break down, they decompose leaves and other things to make good topsoil. They can be pretty important in that process. And they live in detritus like the lightning bugs. It's a good sign when you see lots of millipedes. It means you might have lots of lightning bugs too. I think when it gets super saturated like it is now, when there's lots of rainfall, they come out from the leaves and look for a place to dry out a little bit because it is so super saturated. So I think that's why you're seeing them now. They're nothing to worry about. They're not going to hurt your house. They're not going to hurt you. They just normally crawl around in the leaves and the organic matter around the base of the house. And now that it's raining the way it is, they're all jumping up. Hey, Brian, we're doing our firefly registry, registering fireflies in the area, out at Todd Acres on Rangeline Road, Rattlesnake Bayou, the Dog River area, the Cypress Shores area. These were areas, and I remember as a kid, the lightning bugs that were around Cypress Shores when I was out there as a kid. Yeah, there are lots of them. And you know why? Look, it's got all the right ingredients. It's got the wetlands. We haven't quite filled in all the wetlands yet. We're working on it. People are working on it all the time. But we got the wetlands. And so there's areas for those fireflies to emerge. They do need some slightly drier areas. So when you have your lawn come down to the edge of the river and you've got nothing but Bermuda grass or St. Augustine or centipede grass cut very close to the river, you're creating problems for lots of creatures, particularly for fireflies. Leave at least a fringe of native vegetation along the edge of the river for the fireflies. That can be pretty important. And don't cut your grass up close. But having those wetlands there is probably pretty important to maintaining the fireflies. Having areas of darkness, because you can't put a street light in the middle of a wetland. It's hard to do unless you fill it in. And that's a little more difficult now than it used to be to fill in those wetlands and put street lights on them. So all those things are good. That means that's one of the reasons we have the fireflies out there. That's kind of a good thing. That's a really nice thing. So you know, we're thinking through this firefly things. They have 6 acres of pasture and a Grady Pond a little south of Fairhope. Now, Grady Ponds, can I talk about Grady Ponds for just a minute? Grady Ponds used to be very common. Grady Pond is not a cattle pond. A Grady Pond is not something human built. It's a very special feature. People still aren't sure exactly why Grady Ponds developed. They're natural features. They resemble the Pocosins of North Carolina. They're very similar in a way to the Pocosins of North Carolina. The Pocosins in North Carolina have been protected for a long time because they're thought of as very unusual habitats. We had Grady Ponds that were very unusual, but we didn't do a very good job of protecting ours, so they're now very rare. If you have a Grady Pond, it's a beautiful thing. It's a natural pond. Just a natural pond. Nobody dug it. They didn't make it for the cattle. It wasn't something to put brim in. It was just a natural shallow pond in the middle of a flat area in the middle of what used to be the longleaf forest. There were all kinds of special plants that were part of that. And that Grady Pond is probably the source of all those lightning bugs. And I suspect the lightning bugs you have around that Grady Pond are pretty specific to Grady Ponds. In other words, that species of firefly may only exist around Grady Ponds in those areas. So they're probably pretty rare now. They're probably pretty special. So be sure to keep that Grady Pond. How do you cut the pasture to encourage fireflies? And one of the things to do is to make sure there's a gradient between the pasture and the Grady Pond. If your pasture comes right up to the edge of the Grady Pond and there's no natural vegetation around it, well, you've kind of missed the benefits of that Grady Pond. So you want to have a little border there. Fire around a Grady Pond can be very important in maintaining all sorts of animal populations, including fireflies. It probably maintains the vegetation in just the right way. We can talk about that. And how to do that right around the Grady Pond. It might actually help the Grady Pond. You might actually get some great wildflowers around that Grady Pond that would be very natural. What's another name for Grady Pond? I'll have to think of another one, but there's some other common names for Grady Ponds that we used to call them. But they're just natural ponds that basically existed in the old longleaf. I suspect there's some really cool fireflies associated with that. And so Tony down on Fowl River, you know, he's got a bunch of fireflies. And that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Keeping that grass up when you're out on Fowl River, letting the grass grow a little bit higher, that can make a lot of difference. Having some native grasses could probably make a ton of difference in a lot of wildlife. Some of those native grasses can be quite beautiful. They're knee-high to waist-high, but really beautiful. Some of the blue, some blue stems, we call them, or sedges, broom sedges, that are blue. Their stems are like the glaucous blue that you see on the little blue bloom that you see on grapes and other things. That's a glaucous bloom. And these grasses have that blue quality. They can be very beautiful. It would be great to maintain some of those for firefly habitat. And we can talk about how to do that with your specific yard. Just give me a call sometime and we'll do it. 251-343-3106, 251-343-0106. You know, it's a fun thing to talk about fireflies. We'll talk about them a little more when we come back.